Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. It's good to be here. It's nice to be back. Hello, everybody. Hey, Montreal, you're so good looking. It's nice to see you again. It's been too long. 9 days in Toronto. About bloody time I got back.
Welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, Jay. How are you?
I'm very well. We had a good time during the show last week.
You guys were great.
Thank you.
You guys were great. It was so much fun to listen to that podcast. You, of course, and Jay Baruchel.
Yes.
And Anakin Slade.
Yes.
And your guests were
George
great.
George Larac, Ricky Mabee, and Eric Engels. I forgot to thank them at the end of the show, so I will.
I thanked them on Twitter for you the next day.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Good.
And
glad to see you're on it.
We're forgetting one more.
Who?
Two Line Pass.
Ryan Lambert, yeah.
Who?
You'd think I know since I hosted the show, but
that's okay.
Why would I know that?
I think he passed the audition as well. I'd like to get him back on.
Yeah, he's an interesting fella.
I like people that stir it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's why.
Well, then what am I doing
here? It's why you sit across from me.
Okay.
So Jay Farrar, ladies and gentlemen, went to his first baseball game in 8 years yesterday.
Yep.
You okay?
I'm good. It was a long day.
Well, let's just talk about the baseball game part of it.
Yeah.
I imagine a lot of people, in fact, people came from all over the world. So
they did.
I'm willing to bet that you were not the only tired person.
Yeah, I'm not going to bitch about it because there were some people coming to as far away as Vancouver and California and, God, my goodness.
Sweden.
Sweden?
Yeah.
Somebody came from Sweden?
I just saw that on the Facebook page.
In Sweden?
Well worth the trip from Sweden.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a wonderful day. And those of you who were there, if you want to call in, those of you who were not there and wish you were there, our phone lines are open to you, 514-790-0990, 1-866-896-2546. We'll keep this baseball spirit alive tonight. And you know, there's several reasons for that, Jay. You know what happens at midnight, right?
What happens at midnight?
Other than you turning into a pumpkin.
I think that happened last night, but anyway.
I think that happened in the seventh inning yesterday, actually.
Are we changing frequency?
This is the last local show on TSN 990. And we all know how when it was Team 990, what gave this station its name, why I listened every night.
Right.
Montreal Expos Baseball.
Right.
I think for the first 3 years of this station, that's all that really mattered on this station.
Right.
So we're going to relive that a bit tonight.
Yeah, and let's be clear, it's the last show on the 990 dial.
Correct.
Just
at midnight.
To be clear.
At midnight.
We're going to get some phone calls.
You know, that's fine. Let the phone ring.
Okay.
But if I don't think I said that this is the last show. I said this is the last local show before we move to 690.
Ah, okay. Just making sure.
If I didn't, I'm saying it now.
Yeah, but you know, some people don't listen. You know, like me. I'm listening, but I'm not hearing.
Turn down your radio, Farrar. So we've got a great show tonight. We've got a whole slew of guests for you, and we're gonna jump all over the place. We're well aware of what's going on tomorrow. It's a very big day. I think I talked about it 2 weeks ago.
I got to get up again?
My credit card's due tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a big day.
Okay.
Big day for the province.
Your credit card, probably.
We'll speak with Rich Griffin tonight. Rich writes baseball for the Toronto Star. He was also the Expos PR guy, I think, from 1973 to 1995. So that will be very interesting. Rich was sitting in the seats with us yesterday in Section 240. He was sitting with Jim Fanning.
Right next to Mr. Jim Fanning.
How awesome was it that Jim Fanning
showed
up?
He looked like he was having such a good time. Just a huge smile on his face. And let me say something about Jim Fanning. You know, you've heard some negative things about Jim Fanning. I couldn't have met a nicer guy in my time. And legitimately nice. Not just like, he's just a nice man. You know, but I guess with age we all mellow out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, isn't his relationship with the players sort of a typical manager-player relationship?
Of course. Ask my waitresses what they think of me.
I'm well aware.
Yeah.
We're also going to speak with Jonah Carey, who was with us.
Who?
Jonah Carey is the man, and what a great guy. I got to spend some time with him this weekend, and it was a lot of fun. Went out to a very pretentious bar with him on Saturday night that you would normally never catch me dead in, but the company was good, so we went. And
yeah, you kept asking me, when were you there last night? Why are we not? I was taking care of another bar. I won't say pretentious, but I was taking care of another bar.
No, it definitely. I think the your bar is the opposite of that bar.
No, yeah, exactly.
It is. There is a complete lack of pretension at McLean's Pub.
Yeah, you're not going to hear right before you get in.
You know what? The music wasn't half bad. It was. No? It was the idea that we were sitting up on the rooftop patio. We call it a terrace, and
right.
We had a bunch of friends downstairs, and they couldn't get up. They were not allowed upstairs.
Okay.
Max capacity, which was total BS. It was that we weren't cool enough.
Were they were not dressed in proper attire?
Perhaps.
What color was their skin? That also stops people sometimes from letting people in.
You're right. They were white.
And I have personal experience.
They were
with
white.
That.
No chance they were getting in.
Oh, they were white? Not cool enough.
No, I think it was a Benetton ad waiting in line. But
okay.
And
Benetton.
And Toronto's a Benetton ad. It's Montreal's a lot more homogenous.
Okay.
Than Toronto.
Okay.
But anyways, needless to say, you don't find me on Saint Laurent those types of bars very often. And that was an exception, thanks to Mr. Jonah Carey. 9 days in Toronto is a long time, but
My God, how did you do it?
Oh, I filled it up with doing some cool stuff.
After 9 minutes, I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Well, I got to hang out with my buddies, Arkells, on Wednesday. They played the X, and I'd never been to the X before. It's like a county fair in the middle of Toronto. All it's missing is a demolition derby, and it would be just a large-scale Lachute fair. Carnies and everything. But it was great to hang out with Arkells again. And tonight we'll speak with Max Kerman, the lyricist and lead singer from Arkells. And we'll tee up the Montreal premiere of their new song, Ty Cats Are Hummin', which is their CFL, their official song of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And it's Labor Day. If there's one day a year that we can talk a little bit of CFL.
Yeah, well, they're playing again.
The Tiger Cats?
The Tiger Cats and
the
Argonauts.
Canadian Football League. Yeah, they played this afternoon.
They haven't played in 2 years, so
they haven't played the Labor Day game.
They're renewing the rivalry.
This was also the final game, Labor Day game at Ivor Wynne, because they're building a new stadium. So Ivor Wynne Stadium is closing. They also announced today that the Hip will be playing the first and last ever concert at Ivor Wynne Stadium on October the 6th.
Okay.
So if that doesn't conflict with a Monday, I might have to head to Hamilton a couple of days after the new Hip album.
You want
drops
me to call Baruchel again?
If he's not filming, if he's not training a dragon, maybe he'll be able to sit in. We're also going to speak with Justin Ling in the third hour of the show. He'll actually join us in studio. Justin has a political bombshell to drop on all of you. If you think you know who you're voting for, wait till 9 o'clock. You might change your mind. Don't look at me with those eyes.
Justin Ling is running?
This is radio. Don't look at me with those eyes.
Okay.
You familiar with Justin?
No.
He's
sorry.
That's okay. He's a freelance political reporter.
Okay.
Open File, CTV, Globe and Mail. Much bigger than this show deserves.
I like freelance guys.
They're
not so, I guess they're not so.
They don't
corporate.
They don't have a dental plan.
They don't have a dental plan, so they don't care. And they have a tendency to speak out a little bit more. I love freelance guys.
Man, I am.
Like you, Dave, you're kind of a freelance guy.
I am more than kind of a freelance guy.
Yeah.
Lisa needs braces, dental plan.
Okay.
Lisa needs braces, dental plan. This is the Kaufman Show. Jimmy is back driving the bus. It's been so long that since Jimmy G has been with us, that I think we're going to have to set off some fireworks. We'll be back after the break with Clint Eastwood. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, Jimmy Cheeks back on the board. Good to see you, buddy. It's been way too long. When did you get home from Greece?
I got back on August the 6th.
Well, where the hell have you been?
Well, I've been sick the last couple of weeks.
You're better now?
Much better now.
Oh, what a sweet guy. Happy Labor Day, everybody. The Shackled and Drawn, Bruce Springsteen off the Wrecking Ball album. I'll get into that concert a little later. Was pretty ridiculous. But in the meantime, more pressing issues at hand. Anybody check out Clint Eastwood? And that ridiculous ridiculousness?
No. I heard about it, but I didn't want to watch that.
Well,
I can only cringe so much.
It was very interesting to see him interview a chair. And
is that what he did?
What was odd about it, what I don't understand, is that it was, I think it was a 15-minute speech. But for some reason, all the networks only aired 12 minutes of it. Now, you know me. I've got the hookups. All my friends over at the Republican Party.
Oh, of course. Clearly.
So without any further ado, throughout the show, we'll play you a couple of segments from the what wasn't aired from Clint Eastwood's rambling speech at the GOP convention in Tampa last week. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. An old man's talking.
The year is 1906. The president is the divine Miss Sarah Bernhardt. And all over America, people were doing a dance called the Funky Grandpa.
I own the first radio in Springfield. Weren't much on the air then. Just Edison reciting the alphabet.
Now, my story begins in 19-tickety-2. We had to say tickety, cause the Kaiser had stolen our word 20.
You see, back in those days, rich men would ride around in Zeppelins, dropping coins on people.
I chased that rascal to get it back, but gave up after tickety 6 miles.
Thank you, Clint Eastwood. Once again.
You know it's not far off.
I'm telling you. I know.
It's just about that.
That's... Watching it live, all I could think was, I had an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time. It was so cringeworthy, Jay. It was so cringeworthy. It was so, I mean, not that Paul Ryan's speech was any better. All he did was lie for 15 minutes.
Right.
And, hello. Hello. Hi, Jimmy.
Jimmy's a little rusty. It's all right. He's been away for a while. Give him a chance. You should have seen me last week. Oh, my God.
I was listening.
Okay.
What's the name of our intern?
Which intern?
The one who's normally in the back room?
John Kakalakos.
No.
No, I called him John Quirkalakos.
It's John Kakalakis.
Kakalakis.
Yeah.
And really?
It is. And I say hi to John Kakalakis. Who's not here with us tonight.
Kakalakis.
But this is like...
Kakalakis.
I just got a total flashback from that.
What?
AM 600 CIQC.
Uh-oh.
Montreal Expos Games. On, it must have been on Melnick's show, the drive home show, Grudzelonic. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They got Mark Grudzelonic to repeat his name ad nauseum.
Yeah. Well, it's better than Harry Carey. This is a line drive to Mark G.
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's go to the phones. We have one of the Expos fans who was at the game with us. His name is George. He lives in God's country, which isn't Alberta. According to him, that's Hudson.
He was glowing,
yeah,
beaming,
was, eh?
Just smiling.
There's a great picture of the three of us, actually, that he put up on the Expos Nation Facebook page.
I don't even remember taking it. I'm so tired. Okay.
Hi, George. How are you, man?
Hey, Dave. Jay, how's it going?
We're great.
Yorgo.
Wow. What was that yesterday? That was amazing, actually.
It was a wonderful day, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
And before we go any further, major doff of the cap of my fedora that I was wearing yesterday to Matthew Ross. Because Matt did such a great job putting it all together and contacting all the right people.
Yeah.
And it's gotten
was having such a good time.
It's gotten a ton of press. Yeah, Matt was
eating it up.
Matt
yeah.
was on fire yesterday.
Yeah,
I've never seen his hair look so good.
He really did. He looked like Clark Kent just changed to Superman. He had the curl in the front. It was awesome.
I had a hard time picking off Dave when I first came to the ballpark because I hadn't seen him clean shaved in a while. And he was wearing sunglasses and a fedora there. And I was saying, okay, I see Jay, I see Anakin. But I say, well, okay,
the two guys who aren't clean shaven. Yeah,
I don't know what prompted me to do it. It was probably the it was probably the heat wave.
A date.
It was 9 days in Toronto. That's what prompted it.
That's right. I needed a shave.
Dave met a nice lady.
I'll tell you what my impressions were as I was at the ballpark yesterday. I had a lot of emotions going through me. First of all, it was amazing how 150 people, or 200, I don't know exactly how many of us were there, that we made more noise than the rest of them did in the whole ballpark.
Damn straight.
Eh? And I was listening to Jonah Carey coming back, because after the game I drove back to Montreal because I had to be here for Labor Day. And I was listening to his interview on the 590, the Fan 590.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that, you know what, 5,000 fans at Olympic Stadium at the Big O can make more noise than 25,000 at Rogers Center.
I have a great story about that, actually, George. I was at a game, I think it was in June of 94, when Jeff Fusaro almost threw a no-hitter against the Pirates. He went 8 2/3. I believe there were 13,500 fans in the stands. And a couple of nights later, I was in Toronto watching the Red Sox play the Blue Jays in front of 55,000. Guess which one was louder?
The Big O.
Obviously.
I'll tell you one thing, though, Dave and Jay. Honestly, it was great to see all the people there. It was great to see Expo Caps. Yuppie Doll, you could be seen from everywhere in the stadium, because you know that I came to Section 240, but I was also with my godson, who happens to be from Toronto. So I was sitting down in the box seats as well. And you could see Yuppie from everywhere. It was unbelievable. And I could hear the noise from, and the atmosphere was amazing. We should do that more often. There's no doubt about that. It's always good to see familiar faces. And also, you know, you get this, I call it Expo Euphoria, Expo Love Fest, okay? It seems like you can't get enough of it.
I can't. I don't know if anybody else can.
It almost felt like
I bask in it, man. I absolutely love that feeling. It.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of the worst baseball games I've ever seen yesterday. It
I
didn't
forgot
matter.
We were at a Blue Jays game. I really from because the last time I ever went to a major league game was in an Expos game in 2004. I really thought it really felt like I was still at an Expos game because of the crowd surrounding me in the bleu, blanc, and rouge, or the rouge, bleu, and blanc.
It was a wonderful day.
Precious, precious, I'm too precious.
You're listening to The Kaufman Show with Kaufman and Jay Farrar. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. They actually played that last Friday night at Rogers Center. Yeah.
Was a dude banging on a pillow with the drumsticks?
No, it was the actual version of Sherry Darling.
Ah, okay.
But like many Springsteen concerts before, it was requested. Fans come with posters, like cardboard posters of song requests, and he'll go through the crowd during the show and just pick them out and play the songs.
Making his band very nervous, trying to make sure they knew all the right chords to the song.
He calls it Stump the Band.
Stump the Band.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And it doesn't have to be a Springsteen song. It can be anything.
Really?
Yeah, I saw them do the Stones the last time.
Put a
the
Gin
Rolling
and
Stones.
Juice by Snoop Dogg, see what happens then.
I know that they've done Arcade Fire songs in concert.
Cool.
Yeah, they do Keep the Car Running, which is pretty neat.
Wow. Arcade Fire must be happy about that.
I bet.
Yeah.
How long was the ball game yesterday, Jay?
8 hours and 17 minutes.
It wasn't a Yankees-Red Sox game. Come
okay.
on now. I believe that the game started at 1:07 and was over at about 4 o'clock. So by my math, that's a little under 3 hours. Right?
It was long.
It felt like a long
especially
game.
Especially that second inning.
Well, when Tampa put up the sixth spot,
yeah.
Exactly. All to say, Jay, that at 2 hours and 54 minutes, Springsteen had barely broken a sweat yet.
Boy.
He played for 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, at least you get your money's worth when you go see Springsteen.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
Like that. I love that old mentality.
Goodness.
You can't get me off this. Try and come and get me out. Johnny Cash mentality, you know? Why don't you come up here and try and get me off this stage?
At one point, he yelled out, "They're going to F and pull the plug on us."
Nice.
It was amazing. It was just wonderful. And do what I did, ladies and gentlemen. Get on Twitter and tweet at Ivanko. There is a free date in their schedule. They are in Ottawa on the 19th of October, and they should be here on the 20th.
Okay.
Yeah.
They should think?
I want it. October 20th is my birthday.
At the Bell Center?
I want a Springsteen show on my birthday
I'll
at
go.
The Bell Center.
I'll go.
Good.
Unless it's a Monday.
It's a Saturday.
Okay. Then I'm not going.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, what day does it have to be for you to make it? Tuesday?
It has to be a Sunday or a Tuesday.
Okay. I'll talk to
that's
the boss.
That's the only way it's going to happen.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
It was the best rock concert I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
You've seen a lot of rock
concerts. Look, Springsteen is the best live performer I know. And that was his best show. So, ergo, that was the best concert.
Just I've getting seen. Better with age.
Montreal deserves to have a show like that. Montreal deserves to have a concert that lasts 3 hours and 45 minutes with people losing their bloody minds. And right now, it frankly sucks that Toronto gets it and we don't.
And Madonna.
How was she?
I don't know.
I know she played the Plains of Abraham.
I'm sure that's a question that's been asked of Madonna many, many times.
Yes. We could
How
have,
was she?
We could have asked Jose Canseco
oh, yeah.
in retrospect. But let's keep it classy, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And let's get off the Madonna topic as
yeah.
fast as we can.
Sorry about that.
The only thing I heard about the Madonna concert was that she got on stage at 10:15.
That's why everybody came in late to
you
the pub
to the,
afterwards, yeah.
What time did they show up?
Yeah, past midnight. So
there you go.
That explains a few things.
I wonder what she was doing. That's very Snoop Dogg-esque.
Yeah. Was she being held up at the border, you mean?
I don't know. That's what I'm kind of inferring.
She's Madonna. She does whatever she wants. She's the queen of the universe, she thinks. So, I mean, you know, who cares?
There's a reason that Springsteen can do back-to-back nights at Fenway and then play Foxborough the next day.
Right. And show up on time.
He shows up on time.
And give you an hour and a half extra.
Show up on time and deliver.
Yeah.
And
who cares about Madonna?
They came on, Jay, to take me out to the ballgame.
Did they?
Yeah, which was really neat.
Why?
Playing baseball stadiums, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know. He likes baseball.
He does like baseball.
It's a song that everybody knows. I don't know.
It's a song that everybody knows. Speaking of which, we changed the lyrics in section 240 at Skydome yesterday, and the whole stadium heard it. Believe me.
I've never changed the lyrics. They've always been the same lyrics.
The originals?
Me.
Yeah.
On August 5th when I was at Fenway, or August 6th, it was the same lyrics. The first two games of the Rays series that I was at before everybody showed up, and it's root, root, root for the Expos.
Yeah.
If they don't,
but it sounds a little different when 150 people are yelling it out in a pretty empty and quiet ballpark.
Man, we were so loud yesterday.
We were loud, and I could tell because leaving the section and going over to 227 on the other side behind home plate, people were telling me you could still hear them and hear the chants very, very clearly. Tom Foley even heard us yelling at him.
Tom Foley, who I remember vividly from John Elias's Grand Slam Baseball School. He was one of the guys that used to come all the time and teach the kids.
Oh, that's nice.
And he was waving his cap at us before we even started chanting his name. Sam Fold had told him that we would be there. And we were there.
Yeah.
And we were loud.
Yeah, and he acknowledged the crowd, turned around, lifted his cap, and that was cool.
There you go. We've got Matthew Ferreira Fernandez on Twitter, at Matt787. Loved hearing Let's Go Expos all the way from the visiting team's dugout.
There you go.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And you know what? It wasn't just in Section 240. I was telling Simon Salikas on air this morning, there were Expos fans all over the stadium. When we were sitting behind the plate at the start, we were able to pick them out all over the place.
Yeah.
It was like, there's Guerrero and there's Malte. And
you could see some of the Blue Jays players, too. Apparently, Yunel Escobar turned around trying to figure out what the hell was going on. I don't think he was in the league when the Expos still existed.
This is from John Lott's article, right?
Yeah. That's right, on the National Post.
Yeah, it's in the National Post.
Where you are quoted, sir, numerous times. And
I
so
am.
Is Anakin Slay.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. And I have to say that he made me sound okay.
Did he?
You're always afraid. You know, when somebody pulls out a tape recorder and starts talking to you, you never know what they're going to take.
I've had that happen to me, and I won't mention names.
Never know what they're going to take. And what I find interesting, he quoted me on something here that I'm afraid that I might get into a bit of trouble for, but I'll mention it right now. Cromartie, the former Expos outfielder, was not present, but continues trying to drum up support for a seemingly hopeless cause, bringing baseball back to Montreal. Kaufman, the radio show host, considers that campaign premature. I don't like having a conversation yet about bringing Major League Baseball back, because I know the first thing we need is a billionaire who's willing to lose half his fortune, Kaufman said. I'm very much interested in preserving the history and redeveloping that sense of nostalgia that really went away over the last 8 years. And I'm happy he quoted me accurately.
He quoted you accurately?
I think so, yeah.
All right, good.
Everybody talks about bringing Major League Baseball back. Once in a while, you'll see someone say, oh, it'll be in 30 or 40 years. It'll be for the next generation or the generation after. You know how I feel about that. If we don't develop baseball from the grassroots level in this city, then you can forget about the next generation because they're not going to care. We need to preserve the history of the Expos. One thing that Warren Cromartie talks about a lot that I am a huge fan of is that we need a place in this city to congregate. We need a memorial. We need a wall. We need something that says, hey, there was Major League Baseball here. There was minor league baseball here. Jackie Robinson played here. All that stuff is super important. And without it, history's kind of doomed to repeat itself.
I disagree.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good radio. Let's hear it.
I disagree.
Okay.
Once you put up a statue or a memorial or something like that, you're putting a nail in the coffin.
In the coffin.
Which I'm about to do, too.
I think
that's
that
a Freudian slip, wasn't it?
Is that going to be the name of our next show?
Yeah, Nail in the Coffin. Nail in the Coffin.
Yeah, just to be clear.
Just to be clear. Right. Sorry. I don't want you dead, man. Not yet.
Thanks, man.
To put a nail in the coffin. Oh, boy.
Wow.
I could go with so many jokes on that,
well,
but I won't.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's to our serious conversation.
Yeah, that was
please.
Last week. Yeah. No, listen. You start doing that. You're putting up memorials and stuff like that. You're putting a nail in the coffin. You're saying, well, we had a baseball team. And this is the ode to the baseball team. This is it. This is the memorial. And we're done. I don't want that. I don't want that at all. I want no sign of it.
Why does that mean we're done? Why doesn't my op-ed from back in February of building 8 Gary Carter diamonds in low-income areas throughout the city, how would that not be?
Is there a memorial to the St. Louis Browns in St. Louis?
The Cardinals are still there.
That's right. That's right. It's only been 8 years, and we're going to get a goddamn team back. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're going to pay for it?
Somebody's going to pay for it, but we're starting, like you said, at the grassroots level. You start renewing interest in the ball club. Start telling people, spreading the word, make it cool, make it trendy, wear the caps, talk about the stories. And I'm telling you, I have a unique perspective on the mentality of people in this city. I really do. It's the only expertise that I have. I couldn't tell you about the business plans. I couldn't tell you about anything else. I know that when people are young enough, younger than me, who want baseball back in this city, I don't want to put up a memorial and say, oh, what was me? Geez, we used to have a team. Let's go. Forget that.
I'm not saying we go and have candlelight vigils at a memorial.
But that's what it is. That's what it is, a memorial.
I don't see how something, a baseball diamond is a living, breathing thing.
That's right.
That is, to me, that is a suitable memorial.
Okay,
something
but
that
let's
combines
not talk about
and allows
statues and plaques and things like that.
Well, look, the city of Montreal is going to do something for Gary Carter. I don't think
fine.
I don't think that's going to hurt.
He passed away. That's different. That's different. We can't resurrect Gary Carter. You know?
No.
No. Unfortunately, I wish we could, but we can't. We're going to resurrect this baseball team, and that's the kind of mentality you have to have. I mean, you got to make it cool again.
I'll tell you what, Jay, I'm fearful because I know that there's one thing that could happen that will guarantee that we never get Major League Baseball in this city.
What's that?
Hey, si vous voulez, on va cesser de parler des francophones du Québec, voulez-vous? On va parler de nous. À 60%, on a voté pour. C'est vrai qu'on a été battu au fond par quoi? Par l'argent et des votes ethniques. Essentiellement.
If that goes down, there's no way Major League Baseball comes back.
Why not?
You think that Quebec's going to be the third country in Major League Baseball?
Why not?
I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. I don't see the Parti Québécois raising the flags of welcome for the grand American game. I don't think there's a chance in hell. And I know a lot of people are very confused about who to vote for right now. Me included.
I'm not.
Well, you're not voting.
I will vote.
Really?
I'm going to go.
Good.
I'm going to go.
I hear what you're saying. You're going to go and spoil your ballot.
I'm going to spoil my ballot. At least I went, and I can say, everybody gets off my back. You vote democracy. Well, screw it. Okay, I'll go. I'll ruin my ballot. And then I can complain. Oh. Apparently, I'm allowed to complain after that in a democracy.
That's right.
But anyway, okay, go
you
on.
You are. And yeah. I...
Only because I went to vote, but I can't complain otherwise, even though I pay my taxes. Anyway, go on, sorry.
You could just lie to people and tell them that you voted too, right?
Yeah, but then I'd be a liar.
So instead, you're just a ballot spoiler?
Exactly.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
At least I put in the effort.
At least you put in the effort.
Right.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'll go stand in line tomorrow, but I haven't made up my mind yet. I'm hoping that Justin Ling at 9 o'clock, political journalist, will be able to help us out with that. He says he has a huge political bombshell to drop on all of us.
Okay.
That will help us make up our minds.
A fourth party?
Aren't there already? Aren't there like 6?
There are, and we should look into those small parties. Maybe I'll find something I like.
Well, I don't think any of them Federalist?
Communist Party or something.
That's
Socialist Communist Party. I'd vote for them. Why not?
Would you?
No, I wouldn't.
As long as they're Federalists, they can be communists and socialists, right?
No, I don't care about federalism. Anyway, that's another story. You don't even want to hear that.
Oh, no, I so do.
No, you don't.
Oh, wow.
No.
Oh, your choice. You tell us about federalism or we go to commercial.
It's going to make a lot of people.
Come on there, Trudeau. Bring the country together.
Bottom line is I don't really care if Quebec separates.
514-790-0990. That is Jay Farrar. I am Dave Kaufman. This is the Kaufman Show. Once again, that was Jay Farrar. Make that very clear to all of you.
Yeah.
I want to see my Springsteen shows in Montreal. I don't want to have to go to Toronto to see them.
See him in Montreal anyway. He'll come back to Montreal. 4 million people in this city. It'll probably go down to about 3.5. But it's still 3.5 after that, right?
This is a hell of a country we live in.
I don't care about country or province. I care about this city, though.
I love this town, man.
Got it.
You know that.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Kaufman Show. Proud Federalist. That man sitting on a little stool takes money from my hand while his eyes take a walk all over the east. Hands me two tickets, smiles and whispers good luck. Well, cuddle up, angel, cuddle up, my little dove. Well, ride down, baby, into this tunnel of love.
Are bare and red as the sun. Your head pounds like fists in the night. And the woman at home, she said you're no good. You stepped out cause you know that she's right. Well, good times are found in a bottle and a Ziploc bag. When you met, it was love at first sight. Poverty win. It's 8:50 and get your ass out of bed, standing line.
Coming in on some Sarah Jane Scouten on the Kaufman Show. That's Poverty Wind. We'll send that out to all of the owners in the National Hockey League. You okay there, brother?
Yeah. I'm all right.
I look across the room and Jay Farrar is he's having a little trouble today. I was going to say like sitting, standing, but it's just today.
Just today, yeah. I was up for 38 hours straight, so.
And you.
I'm feeling it.
You did a great job. I'm so happy you made the trip, man.
Yeah, you know what? I just couldn't miss it. I mean, waking up in the afternoon Saturday, had a wedding to go to, do my entire shift at McLean's, get home, go straight on a plane, get to Toronto, go to the game, and didn't get to bed till about a little bit past midnight. So, yeah.
You made it, kid.
I made it.
Back to the big leagues.
I made it. I was seeing funny-looking cartoons by the end of it, walking around with me as I walked home. But anyway, I'm good. I'm good to go.
I know it's been a while, but that's called tripping.
Yeah, I know. And it's the scary kind of tripping that I was doing. It was the fatigue-induced tripping.
That happened to our legal correspondent, Dan Gradinsky, on his death race in Vermont. He was telling us that story on air, where he was hallucinating that he was hanging out with the Oakland Raiders in a forest in Vermont.
Hanging out with Bo Jackson and Tim Brown and Jay Schrader, and everybody's just chilling. And
he thought I was Napoleon Kaufman.
He thought you were Napoleon Kaufman. Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you. So, what's new? I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Napoleon Kaufman, how's your leg? Is it okay?
What do you mean?
Oh, never mind.
Oh, did he have some sort of a leg mishap?
No, that was Napoleon McCallum, I think.
What about Napoleon Bonaparte? He's doing okay, right?
He's so dead.
Okay.
So dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
But his hair is in the museum downtown.
Is it?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah. There's the largest Napoleon collection in the world at the Museum of Fine Arts here.
That's all good. You know, I'm going to see art. But
wait, watch me bring this back to sports. You know who donated it?
Who?
Ben Weider.
Yeah?
The Weider Gyms.
Oh. He has Napoleon's hair?
He was a Napoleon, a file. He was the largest, he had the largest collection of Napoleonic memorabilia in the world. And when he passed away, he bequeathed it to the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts.
Okay. I just don't know why you'd want to see anybody's hair.
You know what? Actually,
if it was like Lenin...
Or Vladimir Ilyich?
Vladimir.
Okay.
Yeah. Vladimir Lenin, you know, they've got his body preserved, mm-hmm. and it's just so, I don't know, weird and sadistic to go see some guy's body. I like that. I'm like, oh, dude is laying right in front of me, but his hair, who cares?
you would like you'd like it like you'd want it for yourself? Or like,
no.
Like it, like if you were in Red Square, you'd go to Lenin's tomb.
It's not the I'd like to do weird things to it type thing. I'd just like to look at it. Yeah.
Wow. I never went there, Mr. F.
Well, that's what you were implying.
Not a chance.
And don't say bequeath. I don't know what that means.
Okay. He gave it.
Oh, okay.
When you give it when you're dead.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hyperbole. I know what that means.
No, I called it hyperbole once on there.
Did you?
I thought it was a game.
Hyperbole. NBC presents the Hyper Bowl.
Right, like the Sun-Kissed Fiesta Hyper Bowl.
That's right. That's good.
College football actually got underway this weekend, didn't it?
Did it?
Yeah, and okay. And Penn State played.
I didn't see much of the weekend. I was hallucinating.
Well, actually, I saw something this weekend that I'd never seen before.
What's that?
Back-to-back baseball games that ended on plays at the plate.
Yes.
Outs both times.
Right.
Preserve one run wins, one day for the Rays, one day for the Jays. So exciting.
That is really exciting. Yeah. It's not as exciting as ending the game on an inside the park home run.
No. No.
Which Marquise Grissom did.
I was going to say, once. I've seen that once.
I think that's the only time it's ever happened in Major League history. It's got to be.
But I know that the first play at the plate, which was Friday night, was the first one in 13 months. And then they had them on back-to-back days.
That's crazy.
It was wild, man. Yeah. It was just wild.
Very exciting.
It was really nice to be back in a ballpark. Yeah. And, you know, I started...
See that stuff and you tell me baseball is boring.
Thank you.
Tell me that baseball is boring.
You know, if you want, we can talk labor relations for the next 2 hours, but frankly...
No.
Why is it that everybody is only now realizing that there isn't going to be hockey? It's like people were holding out hope without any kind of realistic eye on it. I mean... It's been so obvious to us that that the situation is screwed.
Yeah, but I mean, to the layman or the casual person who doesn't really follow hockey and doesn't really want to hear about labor negotiations, especially when there's an election going on.
I'm talking about journalists.
Journalists?
Oh, are we still going to complain about protests? Is that still a thing right now?
Well, no, but because journalists...
Because you know they didn't ruin the summer, right?
Yeah.
I had an awesome summer.
A lot of journalists don't like to give an opinion when they finally see that the nail is in the coffin.
Uh-huh.
They, you know, when Donald Fear says, well, that's it, we're suspending our negotiations, we're not having any more meetings, now they can definitely write about it because the proof is there.
I like to prepare myself for bad things
for bad
happening.
News?
Yeah.
For bad things?
Yeah, I like to mentally prepare myself for bad things happening. It's why I've spent a lot of this season reminding everybody listening that the Washington Nationals are going to be really good and probably playing in October this year.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the tweet that the Tampa Rays sent out yesterday?
No.
Oh, they sent... Let me pull it up. I want to get it right. But they sent out a tweet yesterday during the Expos game. See, even I'm doing it. During the Rays game.
It was an Expos game.
It really felt like
it. It was an Expos game.
It really felt it. And I'm not finding it right now. But needless to say, they said that they were very impressed with the Expos fans that were there. And they... encouraged us, if we were looking for a team, that they're waiting with open arms. I thought that was cool.
I highly doubt that.
You highly doubt what?
Well, what do you mean? I don't understand.
They were saying, the Rays were saying, we admire you Expos fans for being here today.
Okay.
And if you guys are looking for a team to cheer for in the meantime, we're here.
Oh, I see.
Well, you don't like that?
That's...
Do you think that's over the line?
No, I just... It reeks of desperation, doesn't it? I mean, 150 people show up at a Toronto Blue Jays game and are like, oh, hey, guys, if you need somebody to root for, you know.
How about
you just give us your team?
Here's what they said. To Expos fans gathered at Rogers Center, your loyalty is admirable. And if you'd like a current team to support, we're here with open arms. I think that's...
How sweet.
I think that's classy. I think that's cool. And again, I was surprised as to how many Blue Jays... cheers were coming from the Expos section. I would have thought there would have been more Rays fans. It seemed like it was just me and Jonah.
That were rooting for the Rays?
Yeah.
I wasn't rooting for anybody. I don't care.
I know you don't care.
Yeah. Don't care about anybody.
Toronto can separate for all you care.
Toronto, please do. No. You know what? I was so impressed. I think I even yelled it out and people laughed. I said, I regret saying all the bad things that I have about Toronto after he just... the kid that was the usher over at Rogers Center.
His name was Noah.
That's right. And he went up and he did a nice little speech in French, and I thought that was very, very nice
of
him.
That was awesome. And he said that
thank you for coming, and, you know.
Vive le Québec au Canada.
Yeah, that wasn't,
is how he finished
that
it.
That wasn't necessary, but you got to get politics involved. It's a damn baseball game, for Christ's sake. Let's listen, you know, say thank you, and that's it.
Merci.
But that's okay. It was really nice of him to change, and he spoke in French very well. And after that, I yelled out, I regret a lot of the things that I've said about Toronto.
I heard that from the back. That was amazing. I just thought, oh, Jay.
Yeah, it was one of the only things I yelled out.
Yeah,
without then, having any beer.
And then when I turned around and yelled, what? You were like, nothing.
I don't have the energy to yell out something else. I'm hallucinating.
It does often come back to politics, though.
Politics, 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 politics. Yes, the Roman Senate. The Roman Senate is the best legislature that money can buy. Corruption starts in the streets with the little peddlers. They bribe an assemblyman. The assemblyman bribes a councilman. The councilman bribes a senator. And the senator, it goes all the way up to the emperor. Oh. Shit.
This is The Kaufman Show. With thanks to Mel Brooks. We'll be back.
I would like to share this with the people in Montreal that are not going to have a team anymore. But my heart and my ring is with them too.
This one's from the Spurs. Slaves got the springtime blues real bad. Can't help but reminisce about the great years we had. I remember photo day 83 summer. Yeah, I still have to pick up me, my pops and my brother. I remember all-star game 5 man strong. 59,000 fans looking on. I remember tears at the kids' last game. Stood right behind him as the anthem played. Now my homemade signs got his autograph name on the newspaper cover, first rush with fame. I remember singing Valdery, Valderall. 03 wild card race, last hurrah. I remember Vlad 40-40 in the call, they got wrong. The game against the Braves, Cliff Floyd going long. Still missing Montreal ball 6 years on. Yeah, sometimes you don't know what you got till it's gone.
His person is flying, he's already in second.
One's for Brent, Larry, Walk, and The Rock. And this one's for El Presidente, Moe, and O'Cab. And this one's for Spaceman, Crow, and Vlad. And most of all, this one's for us. The fans are stuck with the team when the times are tough. Singing.
Those were the days. And the memories will never fade. Those I'm holding my heart.
I remember Rondell White and Lou Frazier. Odie Nixon, F.B.E.
Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. One of my favorite songs of all time.
Wow.
Oh, come on. How could it not be?
Down on the field, no roof. I remember doing a jig on the dugout with youths. I remember just how close we came. 81 in the strike year, still feel the pain. I'll never forget that last night at the O. Had both arms wrapped around my dad and my bro. It looked just like that pic we took years ago. The only thing different were the tears that flow. Yeah, most of y'all must think I left the halves war. But if it were up to me, I'd feel like 94. I remember the last time I checked the box score and the last sad send off from Dave Van Horn. This one's for the kid
and the cat and the Jay Farrar, who wrote this song?
His name is Anakin Slade.
Local guy?
He is a local guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice guy?
I lived with him for 20-some-odd years.
Sounds like you guys had a pretty close relationship.
Shared a room our whole life.
In all seriousness, now, I did not know that. That's really cool.
We was Poe. Well, later on, I got my own room. We built one downstairs. But, yeah, most of the time, we shared a room, listened to the same music, had a stereo in between our two beds with each speaker pointing each way because we had the same taste in music.
It's been a whole week since Anakin Slade helped sit in for me on the Kaufman Show last week, and let's bring him back onto the program now. Hello, Mr. Slade.
I was wondering where that guy I shared the bunk bed with has been all these years.
It's true. It was a bunk bed at one point.
Now, you have to imagine that not only did you guys listen to the same music growing up in the same room, but I bet there were a lot of late nights listening to Expos games.
There really was, especially the West Coast trips. I have very very fond memories of just sitting in the bed listening, you know, staying up way beyond what I was allowed to probably, and listening to, like, you know, some L.A. games and, you know, the West Coast trips and, you know, probably falling asleep before they were over. But
I used to wake up in the morning to country music playing because the format of the station would change at dawn from sports to country.
Gross.
So you recovered, Anakin?
I've recovered, man. I you know, I'm still on the high. It's really funny how all these Expos events, they put me on a high for like a couple of days. I remember the 81 reunion and, you know, the celebrity breakfast with the 94 team. I remember, you know, having a hard time coming down from them, you know, days and days after they happened. And it's no different with this one. I mean, it was just so much fun and you know, more than I could have imagined, to be honest. The turnout was better. The vibe was more intense. The media coverage was more extensive than I could have predicted. And you know, you can't be anything but pleased with seeing the Expos in the news.
I don't know if you saw, but a new article is out in the National Post from John Lott that's very flattering towards Expos fans.
Saw it, and there was a couple of other ones that that really, you know, they devoted a whole, you know, a whole page to them, and even the I don't know if you saw the Tampa Bay Times, even they acknowledged it.
Yeah, which is just fantastic, and it was actually, that's something that I don't know if a lot of people know, but what's his name, Todd Callis, who's actually Harry Callis' son, the Hall of Fame broadcaster right. for the Phillies back in the day. He was the Tampa Bay sideline reporter or whatever they call it at a baseball game, like the Rosenthal for Fox.
Yeah, the guy who usually brings us uninteresting things
right,
from the crowd.
The roving reporter.
That's right.
So he made his way over to 240 and did a live stand-up from our section during the Tampa broadcast.
Better than showing us a huge burger that somebody's eating. That's usually what they do.
Yeah, so
yeah, you know, it's interesting, and you just saying that before about the endorsement for the fans that the Tampa Bay, you know, franchise.
Be careful what you wish for.
Well, you know, it's interesting that people are acknowledging it, because I thought the same thing when the Fox reporter came over. Like, why is he doing this? It's kind of, considering the news of the past week, and it's kind of, I mean, as a Tampa Bay Ray fan watching this, I might have been saying to myself, why are you endorsing these people? They potentially one day could be, you know, a destination for my team.
I don't think that that's really a conversation yet.
Well, I mean, it is a conversation. Whether it's a large one or not, you know, is debatable. But I mean, it's not debatable. It's not a large conversation.
No, but I don't think that. Let's put it this way, Anakin. I think it's a conversation that maybe we have in Montreal when we bandy about what teams are not stable and could move. I don't think that Tampa Bay is sitting there thinking, "Oh boy, we're going to move to Montreal." If anything, they're thinking Portland or Austin, Texas, or something. Montreal's probably off their radar.
And we don't want to look for blood either, because that's what everybody else did to us.
No,
so,
I wouldn't endorse that sort of thing either. But what I'm saying is, there's an SB Nation article the past week that the headline is very clear: should the Tampa Bay Rays move to Montreal?
Mm-hmm. And it was a follow-up of the Jim Capel article on ESPN that didn't get into that. It just talked about how Montrealers still care about the Expos.
Right. So, I mean, you know, There is a conversation, and it's a really small one, and I don't think it's very realistic. You know, I mean, you know, at least not in the short term. But anyways, all this to say that it's interesting that the Tampa Bay press is covering it, and I think it can't hurt our movement, I guess.
No, and that's the thing. The movement has really grown. I mean, and again, I'll say that everything, the spark that relit everything was that song that we came in on. And I think that was probably about a week before the Andre Dawson induction ceremony.
Yeah,
right?
You kind of rushed it out, didn't you, bro? Remember trying to get that video on before we got to Cooperstown?
Yeah, I definitely, for me, you know, timing.
Video could have been better. He's taking
video,
his time.
You know, it's funny that people.
Wow. Only from a brother will you hear that, eh?
Yeah,
I think I just said that it's one of my favorite songs of all time, and here's Jay saying, "Well, it could be a little better, you know."
What I'm saying is, it's so good in the amount of time that he had to make it.
He's saying because he knows me, and he knows that I watch the video and say, man, that cut could have been a little cleaner, or, you know, I wish I had this footage that I could have placed of The Rock instead of the one that I found. You know, like, you know, years later, of course, you look at it, and you know, as an artist, you got to always be critical of yourself and never think that you've achieved your greatest moment. You know, I mean, that's just the way I am, and Jay knows that.
That's why.
And also, Jay takes any opportunity to bash me.
Well, that's why Jay and I sit down every week after the show, re-listen to every minute, and take copious notes.
Yeah, only you, Kaufman. And I've got to convince him. I said, Dave, the show was great. Don't worry about it. God.
Usually around 5 a.m., he gets a text message. He's like, yeah, it was all right.
Can't bring you two anywhere.
So, Anakin, when are we going to a ball game next, man? That was just so much fun. I'm jonesing again.
Well, I want to do it next year again. I think
me
it's
too.
Important to follow up on it. And you know, like you mentioned the staff at the Blue Jays. And another thing that I was surprised to see how embracing they were. Justin was one of the guys. He was the guy who actually spoke French.
Yeah,
and he said his
Justin.
Name was Noah.
Yeah.
But it was Justin who got up in front of everybody and thanked them, and Noah was the other guy, and he was also very, very accommodating, and I was really impressed with the Blue Jay staff, and you know, they came up to me at the end and said, listen, like, you know, we should try to do this again and maybe, you know, get the support of the Jays themselves, you know, so you never know what's going to happen next year. Hopefully it'll be bigger and more will be made of it, and that's the idea of the movement, right? It starts with just a little, you know, a little swell, and it just keeps going, and there's a lot of people who are critical of it, say we're living a dream and all that stuff, and yes, right now it's a dream, it's a pipe dream, it's far away, it's even hard to even picture, but that's how all movement starts, with just a little bit of spark.
And, I don't think it's hard to picture at all, tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, it's not hard to picture us having our tea bag. It's hard to picture when you think about all the steps that have
to
go through, you know, and it's going to take a lot of luck, and it's going to take a lot of support. And like I say, timing is always the most important thing. And we just got to keep going with it and keep getting the word out.
And we'll continue to remind everybody of how good we had it as well, because that seems to make people want it again.
That's why we got to keep doing these events and got to keep celebrating the great aspects of what this franchise brought to us as people and brought to the baseball world, which include two Hall of Famers and hopefully a third and fourth in the next 5 to 10 years.
I think you and I should sit down, Anakin, in the next couple of weeks and figure out when our next big Expos-related benefit charity concert's going to be.
You know I'm there.
All right.
You don't have to ask me twice, homie.
Good stuff. Anakin Slade, keep on keeping on, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, that's what I do.
Blah, Star Wars.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth, Jay. Yeah. I feel like, you know, you guys got to do those all show last week. I want to be like, Anakin Slade, blah, blah.
Kaufman did that well.
This is a huge moment for Dave Kaufman. He's really graduated into another area there. I love it.
I'd like to thank Master T at Much Music for helping me along the way.
Wow, Master T, way to bring it back.
Anakin Slade, thank you so much, sir. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
Oh, my goodness. And in fact, one of the cooler things about Sunday for yesterday, Anakin Slade lent me his Gary Carter jersey.
Yeah, he wants that back. Did you bring it?
Are you Anakin Slade?
No, but I know him.
I know where he lives. I'll bring it to him.
Okay.
This is the Kaufman Show.
I wanted to wear it.
You wore your signed Dawson jersey.
I know. Last time I'm ever wearing it, by the way.
That's cool.
I'm framing it. Yeah.
Well, Lord knows there's enough pictures now of you in it. There's proof.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Well, we'll have to put some of those up on the Kaufman Show.
It's not very flattering either. I look like a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
It's not as flattering as your True Rivalry t-shirt. Let's put it that way.
Thank you.
This is the Kaufman Show. Jay and I will be right back. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. I'd call it the premiere, but it aired last week, I believe, on this station. We'll call it the nighttime premiere of the Bedini Band's Ladies of Montreal.
Real fast all day, every night. Oh, yeah, she's got the gift.
Thank you to Dave Bedini and the Bedini Band. Follow him on Twitter, hockey-esque. Dave will be on The Kauffman Show with us next week talking about his new book about Game 8 of the 72 series. Did you happen to catch his article in the National Post this weekend?
I did not.
Awesome stuff. Check it out.
I will.
We'll definitely be. Call it required reading for next week.
What an accurate song.
The one just played.
Yes.
Makes me very happy.
It does. And you know, it's something I've always agreed with. People say, you know, Americans come up and people from Western Canada come in. And they're like, my God, I can't believe
the girls in this town.
The girls in this town. And you know how you know it's true? Because there are some ugly dudes and they all have hot girlfriends. It's really true. Look at some of the guys coming down the street. You know, it's like, wow, look at that. That's a guy I would have beaten up in high school. And he's walking around with a stripper. It's awesome. So awesome.
Is that your definition of a beautiful girl here? It's the stripper?
Yeah, why not? Strippers are beautiful. Beautiful ladies.
Yeah, just take off a bit of the makeup.
No. Well, some of them need to keep it off. Some of them have lived. You know, you need
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. It's just, it looks like kabuki.
Looking at her face anyway, right?
Oh, wow. Wow. You know, at
7:55, no,
at 7:55, I was like, Jay, it's not even 8 o'clock yet. Now it's 8:28. Jay, it's not even 9 o'clock yet. Come on, man.
Going to go to Shea Perret when the show's over.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are they still advertising on the station?
Yes, they are. That's why I was able to say that.
All right. We've got 2 minutes before Rich Griffin comes up, so let's take a call real fast. We've got Roy from a telephone booth. Wow, those still exist?
Wow.
Hello, Roy.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I need more than 2 minutes, buddy.
Do you?
Yep.
Well, you better talk to our producer then, buddy.
In that case, do you want to call back a little later?
You know what? Hello? I'll just sit here and wait till the thing's over, and I'll call you back.
We've got a couple of interviews coming up, and then...
Dave, okay, very quickly.
Yes.
Every time I listen to your show,
yeah.
Okay, you give me a excuse word, hard on, okay?
Wow, that's thank you.
Is this Simon Talikas?
You know, the actual thing is it's a dream for me, okay, in my head. But every time I listen to your show and your callers and everything, it just gives me more ideas and more ideas of what possibly could happen. And like the last caller said, he said, advertisement, a little bit of advertisement. Like last week when you went to Toronto, and the guys are mentioning Montreal from Tampa. It's not going to happen, but just the fact that it's mentioned. Listen, I want to do something before the year's over.
Okay.
I have the bars. I have tapes. Of every game you could think of.
Really?
Yeah. No hitter. Dennis Martinez, no hitter. I'd like to be able to talk to you, but I just moved. My everything's up in the air.
Roy, okay? I'll make you a deal, Roy, because we've got to go right now. Send me an email, savetheexpos@hotmail.com, and we will communicate through that. And if you want to reach me, if your email's not set up or something, give me a shout as the show is ending, and we'll speak off air.
He doesn't have a cell phone. I don't think his email's set up either. Phone.
Jimmy, let's take a quick break, and let's get Rich Griffin on the phone from the Toronto Star. This is the Kaufman Show. This is Streets Ahead, the new hip song. Lots going on here. Ah. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. Some good news coming in right now. On his 10th anniversary in the major leagues, 10-year service date, 1,300 at-bats? 1,348 at-bats. My main man, Jamie Carroll, just hit a home run. And Kaufman Show baseball correspondent Benjamin Christensen, formerly of the MLB Fan Cave, was there to witness it.
Beautiful.
Yes, I have. He just sent us a live tweeted a picture of him celebrating the Jamie Carroll home run. Now, our next guest was the PR guru, director of communications for the Montreal Expos from, I believe, 1973 to 1995. So they did not cross paths. I'm sure he's seen him when he's covering the Blue Jays, as he now does for the Toronto Star. But I don't know. I imagine that Rich Griffin probably has a soft spot for Jamie Carroll for his time with the Expos. Let's ask him about it. Hey, Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Yeah, no, the 10th anniversary of a guy's career is, I remember talking to John McDonald about it, and John McDonald is one of my favorite Blue Jays of all time.
Sure.
And when he reached his 10th anniversary, it was a huge moment. He took his wife out to dinner. Celebrated because it's the maxing out of your pension, and the fact is that most guys that are in that situation where they're in their 30s, late 30s, and they don't expect to get that 10 years, and when they do, it's one of the major accomplishments of their careers. And Jamie Carroll reminds me a lot of John McDonald and a lot of the other guys of that ilk that I really like.
Jamie Carroll was an afterthought. He was called up at the last minute on September 11th, 2002 at Wrigley Field because he lived in Evansville, Indiana, and was closest to the team at the time. This was the era of Expos when they were saving money left, right, and center, doing whatever they could to squeeze an extra dollar out of everything. So they told Jamie Carroll to drive an hour up, and he hit a triple in his first major league game, impressed Frank Robinson, and managed to stay with the club.
It's guys like that and F.B. Santangelo and Casey Candel and guys that started their careers in that same manner and by the force of their work ethic and their talent pretty much stayed around for that long, and you have to celebrate careers like that.
Oh, yeah, because it's, well, you know what, in this day and age, those are the relatable guys.
Yeah, to us. I mean, we're just hanging on to our jobs, right?
Right. Very well put, sir. It was great to see you yesterday, and I imagine that, well, you must have had a wonderful time sitting next to Jim Fanning for six or seven innings, eh?
Oh, I did for sure. I mean, that was the highlight of my – the other highlight was the call-out for Tom Foley and him turning and acknowledging the Expos crowd, because I've talked to Tom Foley and Dave Martinez for years, and it always comes up, the Expos years. Everyone I talk to around baseball who played for the Expos, I talked to Larry Parrish last year, I talked to Chris Spire last year, and all those guys, no matter how long their career was in Montreal, that's all they want to talk about. You know, that's the highlight of their career, and it says something for the city and for the fans and for the experience.
What did you take from yesterday? Do you think it's one of the steps to bring a team back, or do you think it's just a feel-good factor for something that used to be?
Well, it's a feel-good, and as long as Selig is the commissioner, it's not going to happen. But I think that there are steps that need to be taken, and Warren Cromartie, I love the guy. I've loved him since he was a player, and, you know, I was there when he broke in as a rookie, and we became good friends. But you can't just jump back in and expect Major League Baseball to pass over some of their own major growing southern markets or whatever, or, you know, the Mountain Time Zone and out west, the growing areas, and move a team back to Montreal. But I think we need to get a AA or AAA team with solid ownership, get a stadium that can be expanded at a certain point into a major league facility of 35,000-40,000 seats, and work it that way and not take no for an answer in terms of, can we have our major league team back? And then they say no, and then we just go away. I think it has to happen. And I say we because that was almost 23 years of my life working for the Expos, and 4 years before that as a fan from 1969. So I think it's an important fact for people to realize that Montreal is a vibrant baseball town and always has been. And I think that Major League Baseball took the franchise and tore it out of Montreal and moved it to Washington as part of a master plan, and that was Bud Selig. And I think we have to get a new commissioner, a younger commissioner, someone with more of an open mind, and show that baseball can be supported in Montreal.
We're joined by Rich Griffin from the Toronto Star. We don't have a lot of time with Rich because he's in the middle of his football draft. I know how stressful that can be, so we're not going to keep him on the phone too long. You're happy with your picks so far, Rich?
Yeah, they needed a break right now, so they were very happy to let me take your phone call.
Oh, good. Good. So as we talked about, you were with the Expos for 22 years, and then now you're a baseball writer. Can I ask you what you like better?
Oh, I love walking into a clubhouse and having them go, oh, here comes Griff, rather than, oh, here comes Griff. The writing aspect, they lied to me. They said how much work it was. In fact, PR was more work. But if you're asking me to tell you the truth about which side I'd rather be on, if right situation, I'd still rather be with a major league team trying to make a team, a franchise, a vibrant part of a market. And, you know, I love baseball. I want to be around it as long as I can, and this is the way that I've been able to do it. And you know, as long as you stay true to yourself with integrity, it is still very rewarding. But if you're asking me which side I'd rather be on, I'd rather be with the Montreal Expos right now.
I would imagine that doing that job in the early 80s, when the Expos were much bigger than the Canadians in this town, must have been quite the thrill.
Oh, the best years of the Expos were from 79 to 83, 84, because there was a bunch of young. I mean, you look at the rosters on those teams, and every year it was the team that beat them that went to the World Series and won the World Series. In 79, it was the Pirates. In 80, it was the Phillies. In 81, they lost to the Dodgers. The Dodgers won the World Series. 82, they lost to the Cardinals. Cardinals won the World Series. So when you look at teams that beat them, there was a four-year stretch where you could argue that the Expos were the second-best team in baseball. And during that period, you look at the rosters, and you had a bunch of guys who were 26 years and younger. You had a great pitching staff. You had three Hall of Famers in two seasons. You had Perez, Carter, and Dawson. Three Hall of Famers in one batting order. And I think that North America doesn't appreciate the passion that Montreal baseball fans had for that team. That was the best period I've ever been in baseball.
Well, hopefully we can continue to show North America that that passion still exists, whether there's a team here or not.
I think yesterday was a big part of bringing back that vibrancy. I went back to the press box after sitting with Jim Fanning and sitting with that group for seven innings. I went back to the press box and everybody was talking about it. Everybody was talking about how that section 240 dominated the stadium for one afternoon. And hopefully it can be for more than one afternoon.
Well, it was wonderful meeting you yesterday, and we'll let you get back to your draft. Hopefully we can talk, and maybe it'll be at a point when Ricky Romero has his head together again, and that way I won't be we won't feel the need to make fun of the Blue Jays, that's for sure.
Any time would be great.
Rich, appreciate it so much, and it was great seeing you yesterday. All the best.
Okay, I'll talk to you later.
There he goes, Rich Griffin, former Montreal Expos Director of Communications. Now with the Toronto Star.
The best part is one of the things that I was expecting to see, because I started to get some Leafs jokes together because I thought we were going to be at the Blue Jays game and people were going to start making fun of us. Oh, look, Expos fans, because that would happen often even during the tenure of the Montreal Expos. I would be wearing an Expos cap. People are like, Expos, really? Why the hell are you wearing that cap? It would happen all the time. And that's when the Expos were still around. So I was expecting yesterday to be at the game and have a bunch of gawking Blue Jays fans looking at me and saying, oh, Expos. So I was preparing some Leafs jokes as comebacks. It was nothing of the kind. There was nothing but support. It was like, go Expos, go Expos. And you know what it is? It's like, yeah, look at us. You hear us now, huh? You hear us now. And you're wearing our baseball cap now. 10 years ago, it was not cool to wear an Expos cap. It was not cool to be an Expos fan. And they were even still around. Things have changed, and people are starting to hear what we have to say.
This is the Kaufman Show. We're talking baseball tonight. We'll veer off a bit in the next segment. I'm going to be joined by Max Kerman from the Arkells. Have you guys heard Ty Cats Are Humming yet? My co-host, Jay Farrar, calls it Springsteen-esque. I just call it good. We'll be back.
I hopped on back of the bike, wrapped my arms around you. I sank my face.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, waiting on Max Kerman from Arkells. I think he's somewhere in the Winnipeg area right now.
And okay.
As you know, cell service in Manitoba is just sketchy.
Perhaps he's drowning his sorrows after Hamilton lost this afternoon.
Yeah, well, we're going to
give... gave up an 11-point lead. Jeez.
Well, I would comment, but frankly, I all I know about the CFL this season is that the Arkells are now the they have the official song of the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
You were at an Argos game last week.
I was briefly at an Argos game last week.
Briefly. Bearshell couldn't get enough of that. Every time I would mention you were at an Argos game, you knew.
I heard.
There was a comment.
I heard. That's the cool thing about, like, you guys don't know what I was saying while I was sitting at the Argos game, but I know everything you guys said while I was at that Argos game. I went to watch the Argos were honoring a couple of dozen Canadian Olympic athletes. So I went before the game and checked out the ceremony and watched about, I don't know, 15 regular minutes of football, which equates to maybe 7 minutes of football.
Right.
And just couldn't do it, man.
No.
If the roof was open, they might have had me for a little bit longer. But no.
Yeah.
No. I am tempted to go to Ivor Wynne Stadium. I think that would be, again, just the old school thing. I'm a fan of the old school parks, and I think that would be a cool one. And especially after hearing the Arkells' "Ty Cats Are Hummin'" song, which I will play, for you guys now. I get it. Like, it's not the majors, okay? Like, you have to acknowledge that, and you can hear that in the song. I mean, there's talk about. Let's put it this way: if the Habs ever had an official song, there wouldn't be references to lawn parking and covering the spread and gambling on the game.
No.
And all these other wonderful things that Max has put together for this song. And I was hoping that we'd get to speak to him. Obviously, we'll speak to him down the road. And I once again want to thank them for their wonderful hospitality at the show at the X this week. It was very cool to see. I stood side of stage and got to see 5,000 fans go crazy
for
the
Arkells. Were you playing
the tambourine? No, I was hiding.
Backup vocals?
Hiding in the shadows, Jay.
Oh, okay.
Hiding in the shadows, doing what I do best. Trying to stay out of people's way. You know me.
Yeah.
So, as we said before, this is about the only way that you're going to get me to talk CFL. Without any further ado, this is Arkells. "Ty Cats Are Hummin'."
Come on, Labor Day, from the bar shop to the corner store. sucks, it's taking a beating, but I'll double up. I got a good feeling. Next round's on me if we cover the spread. Next round's on me, I'll be out of the red.
Yeah, that's awesome. Arkells from Hamilton, Ontario. Ty Cats Are Humming, the official song of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. You like it, Jay?
I do like it.
Yeah, I know when we played you the little the 20-second teaser that was up a couple of weeks ago, you really seemed to dig it.
Yeah. No, it's good. I like the Arkells song, sound in general.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I don't know, something about them.
Bunch of good boys, too.
Really nice guys.
Yeah, yeah, it was wonderful to have Nick Dyke in studio a few weeks ago. From Arkells. He talking about smelting down his
At least one of them showed up.
Don't worry. We'll,
rock stars.
We'll give Max hell a little later. We appreciate all they do for the show.
Absolutely.
Including sending us a beeped out version of Deadlines to use as our theme song.
Yeah, and so, it was just great to have a member of a Juno winning group come up to me and say, hey, it's great to finally meet you.
Nick was very excited to meet you. Damn straight. You know, the people who like the Kaufman Show like it a lot.
Yes, they do.
And the people who don't like the Kaufman Show
probably
haven't heard it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So before in hour number one of the show, we were talking about how I'm a very connected individual. I have all the hookups. Everybody comes to me for everything.
You're heavy downtown.
You know me, bro. Yeah.
All right.
It's sounding like Anakin Slade before. This is what we do. Now, I very luckily managed to get my hands on the audio that none of you have heard of Clint Eastwood's hidden 3 minutes from the Republican convention in Tampa last week. We played you the first clip. Let's play another one right now.
I needed a new heel for my shoe. So, I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. The first one takes me back to 1934. Admiral Byrd had just reached the pole, only hours ahead of the Three Stooges.
When I was a pup, we got spanked by presidents till the cows came home. Grover Cleveland spanked me on 2 non-consecutive occasions. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel, and in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say.
That's the Wright brothers' plane. At Kitty Hawk in 1903, Charles Lindbergh flew it 15 miles on a thimble full of corn oil. Single-handedly won us the Civil War, it did.
Clint Eastwood, paint your wagon. Make my day. Unreal that he has degenerated into this, eh?
Do you think it's an age? You know, I like Clint Eastwood. I always liked him.
He's got a new movie coming out. He's going to be doing a full press tour soon.
I don't care about his movies anymore. Walks around like a disgruntled, angry old man with his pants up to his chest and playing the same goddamn guy every time.
Interviewing chairs, okay?
Interviewing chairs.
Life is imitating art.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Jimmy's got an update for you. Jimmy, give me a 10-word synopsis of what's going on in the world of sports right now.
Baseball, baseball, baseball.
Love it.
And Milos Raonic, U.S. Open.
Milos, I see on Twitter that Canadians aren't happy. Milos Raonic dropped the first set to Andy Murray in Flushing.
And he's down 4-3, down a break in the second
set. Okay.
Right. Andy Murray's having a good couple of months here, isn't he?
Yeah, a pretty good post-Wimbledon, eh?
Not bad.
To go back and win the gold medal at Wimbledon after losing Wimbledon? I mean, not that, you know, losing Wimbledon's still pretty awesome. I'd be more than happy to go on Jeopardy and come in second.
Yeah, no kidding.
When we
you get to keep the money, right?
I don't know.
You probably don't.
How does that work?
I don't know. Who cares?
She ain't getting the home version. When we return after 9 o'clock, we'll be joined by Justin Ling, political freelance journalist, with a bombshell. If you have made up your mind for tomorrow's election, maybe you haven't made up your mind. And if you haven't made up your mind, you're definitely going to want to listen. This is The Kaufman Show on TSN 990.
Mesdames et messieurs, attention, je vais vous faire une chanson. Le sujet en est ambitieux. De mon image, je suis soucieux. En 1990, c'est l'heure des communications. De ce siècle, nous avons vu l'apparition du moteur format explosion, puis de l'avion à réaction. Mais de toutes les inventions, c'est sans doute la bombe à neutrons qui nous laissa le plus baba au cours du célèbre Hiroshima. Mais 1990 devrait nous laisser tous pantois, devrait nous laisser tous gaga. Missiles patriotes dirigés par ordinateur, Sony, Fuji et Macintosh, succulent dans les airs le roche. La guerre technologique fait rage, c'est un super média carnage. Attention, voilà les avions qui tirent, c'est l'heure de l'émission. 1990, c'est l'heure de la médiatisation. 1990, c'est l'heure de la conscientisation.
Bonjour tout le monde.
Du jogging et de la cigarette, la preuve en est nos beaux soldats américains qui sont là-bas, bronzés à la vitamine D, nourris aux fibres équilibrées. Les morts qui seront faits là-bas seront en bonne santé, je crois.
Hier soir, DJ Sauvé Mon Âme avec cette chanson. Quel DJ! Bienvenue au Le Kaufman Show. Je m'appelle Dave.
Je m'appelle Jay. Toi, t'appelles Dave.
Es-tu sûr?
Ouais.
OK.
Hey, c'était fun de parler français en Toronto avec du monde, là.
Oui.
C'est la première fois que je parlais français.
Beaucoup plus qu'on parle à Westmount.
Ben oui.
Ça, c'est TSN 990. Demain, c'est TSN 990. Non, 600.
690.
On doit pratiquer pour la semaine prochaine.
Oui.
Et je pense qu'on doit pratiquer la France, notre français.
Peut-être toi, ouais.
On va parler un petit peu de QC 2012 maintenant.
Un petit peu de politique.
Un petit peu.
OK.
Comme il dit en Angleterre, sur un de mes albums préférés, s'appelle OK Computer. Say the right things when electioneering.
In French, OK ordinateur.
Trust I can rely on. And here we are, mere hours away from an election that could really shake things up in this province. Is it about student protests? Not really anymore. Is it about Randy Cunningworth? Maybe last winter, but not really anymore. Oh, it's about bringing the Expos back? No. Oh, it's about a hockey team in Quebec City.
No.
Oh, I don't know. Today it kind of was.
Okay.
Now, we have a guest in studio. He's a good friend of mine. He's also a freelance journalist. You can read him in the Globe and Mail, Open File. He's been commenting on our sister station, CTV, throughout most of this election season. And when he's not, you can catch him on Tuesdays with me at Elsie's for Manif on Bars. Justin Ling, how are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Good. You like it in here?
It's nice.
Kind of how you pictured it?
Yes, and more. All the right. Unicorn in the corner is a little throwing me off.
She's cool, though. Don't worry. She's cool. She serves up drinks at 10 o'clock.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So you and I spoke yesterday,
uh-huh.
And you're somebody that I've leaned on in the last month for information for this election. As you know, I'm undecided. Many of our listeners, I imagine, are undecided. I think there was a big poll that came out, was it last week, that just showed how many people still don't know who to vote for. And I think you have the magic answer.
I do.
So here is the bombshell that I've been teasing all day. Justin Ling, what do we do?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what you do. You're voting for me.
Really?
Really. I'm coming on TSN tonight to announce my candidacy for the Quebec election.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I know it's a little late. But you know what? I think I've been following this election, and I think, like a lot of people, I'm fed up with most of the major parties. And I think what we need, a lot of people are talking about spoiling their ballots. I think that's the wrong way to go. I think it's time for a write-in candidate, and that's me. And I'm announcing my candidacy today for the Psy Party.
The Psy Party.
Well, it's pronounced...
That should work in this town, actually.
Yeah.
And that is a bilingual term.
You can also call it... It's an accent in there.
Right, of course.
Right.
It's a chapeau, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Accent de gaffe.
So what differentiates the party from the CAC, from the PQ, from the Liberals?
Well, I can tell you what. The Psy Party is by far the least corrupt party in Quebec.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know, because I've tried to get bribes and no one will give me anything.
Fair enough.
Well, while I'm on that, if Mr. Pelladeau would like to contact me, I'm always available.
Who isn't, right? Même chose ici, Mr. Pelladeau.
Well, yeah, I'm coming forward with a plan of bold new promises. Mm-hmm. For one, I oppose the new Nordiques arena in Quebec City.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I'd like to put it in the Gaspé Z. I think it would bring jobs and a lot of economic development to the region that they're desperately lacking, and we get the Nordiques back.
You sure Mulroney's not whispering in your ear or something?
Well... Mr. Mulroney, feel free to contact me.
Speaking of bribes.
Okay, so you want to move the Nordiques,
right,
when they come to the Gaspé Z,
right,
which will gain you 6 votes in the Gaspé.
I think that's all I need.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I just don't see how that wins you the island of Montreal, which I imagine is going red tomorrow.
Well, you know,
right?
What? I'm actually, I am planning on bringing the Expos back.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I will mandate the Expos coming back. In fact, I'm actually looking to bring on Yuppie as a member of my cabinet. I'm looking to bring him on as health minister.
Speak softly, carry a big stick?
Exactly. Okay. He'll be my health minister because at least he's thinner than Gaetan Barrette.
Wow.
6 people, including me, just laughed at that. But that's okay. That's okay. If he gets elected
That's
tomorrow,
all of the Gaspé.
That's right. Me and the Gaspé are laughing our asses off right now. Hope the rest of you are liking this.
Yeah.
Can we get any other major sports back or to Montreal? Can you just...
Well, you know what?
Pandering, think about where you are right now.
Right.
Your station. Who is listening to you? And how they... What would make them want to vote for you?
Well, I know there might be a lot of Anglophones listening. I want to say that I will not extend Bill 101 except to the Habs. I will ensure that that all communications in the Habs locker room are in French. And I'll make sure that the general manager of the Habs is indeed in French.
Okay.
Is a Francophone head of that. And you know what? One of the PQ propositions was to ban halal meat in the province.
To ban halal meat?
This was a while back now, but they actually promised to ban halal meat. And I'm firmly in favor of it.
No.
Except in Montreal Impact games. I think it would, if you serve halal meat only there... I think it would increase turnout to the games.
I think that might kill the post-bar food industry in this city if you banned halal meat.
Yeah.
Oh my God! You think there were protests for the student stuff? Imagine if they closed Amir and Boustan down.
Yeah.
Try move them all to the Impact Stadium. I think that would just be a great way to get people to see
the
soccer.
The only thing worse about pissing off college students is pissing off drunk college students.
Oh, Jay, they should be spending that money on tuition anyway.
You'll be sure.
Right.
So what else?
Well, you know what? I'm not going to have a referendum in my first term.
Not in your first term.
But if the Habs win, I will definitely put it to a vote. I think it'll inspire the sovereigntist members of the team to really get active.
You think so?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Wow. So you're promising that the next referendum will only be after the Habs win a Stanley
exactly.
Cup?
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's really... I guess that's really far away. That we can get behind that, right?
Yeah, why not? We know it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well,
there's
not even going to be hockey this year.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Oh, actually, that's an important point, because if there is a strike or a lockout, I will impose back-to-work legislation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So your power will reach beyond the National Assembly in Quebec.
Yeah, absolutely.
To a wide casting net over North America.
Yes,
be like police and firefighter, as it's an essential job.
Here. Oh yeah,
he needs
so.
To be a hockey player.
I think so.
I got to say, you're building up Quebec to be a hell of a place if you win.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll take back what's rightfully ours.
We're in conversation with Justin Ling. Justin is a Montreal-based journalist who has just announced his candidacy for, I guess, Premier of Quebec.
Every seat in Quebec,
exactly.
Actually.
It's for every seat in Quebec.
Yes.
He's looking for you to write him in on every ballot when you go tomorrow. This is, just to let you know, this is the bombshell that we were promising you. Going to get your expos back. Nordiques are moving to the Gaspé. What's going on with Dr. Barrett again? Oh yeah, Youppi is going to be the Minister of Health,
right?
In Minister Ling's cabinet. Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you, Justin. This doesn't sound any more ridiculous than the actual stuff that we hear.
No, I think this is a lot more sane. This is considerably less nuts than most of what's been proposed during this election.
You have been covering this since day one, and in fact, your blog, demarchi.ca, has been one of my favorite blogs to check because it's been obviously smart and funny, which is why we brought you in today. But what the hell is going on? Pretend it's really actually pretty easy. I'm an undecided voter.
Right.
Which one? What's the lesser evil
right
now?
What's the lesser evil, yeah.
See, that's where that comes from.
That's where it comes from.
Fair enough.
It's an answer and a promo.
It's the Psy party.
I mean, do you decide to be staunchly Federalist and vote Liberal for a party that's been accused of untold corruption and who has ultimately bungled the student strike immensely? Or do you vote to PQ for, you know, maybe a referendum, maybe not, and for a whole bunch of obscure and niche and somewhat call racist propositions that no one really thinks are going to make all that much of a difference in the province? Or do you vote CAQ, which is a party that that is promising to extend the school day as one of their primary, you know, platform planks? It's all completely absurd. The absurdity of making Youppi a health minister seems considerably less insane than some of the things that Pauline Marois is saying.
Well, at least you know Youppi wouldn't open his mouth and say something stupid.
One would hope.
Actually, and that would be a hell of a story if he did. It's amazing. I've met so many people in the last couple of weeks who've straight out said to me they're not voting, and that's never a good thing.
No, and it's hard to blame them, especially in some of these ridings where you know, people are starting to look to the smaller parties, but even the smaller parties seem to be full of absurd little like candidates that nobody vets before they actually run. So it's like even the really obscure tiny options aren't even options anymore.
I think what's important to remind people right now is that no matter what happens tomorrow night, Wednesday morning the sun still comes up, right?
I'm not so sure about that.
The sun
never
will
know.
Never set on the Quebec Empire.
Wait, is the sun English or French?
Who knows? Whatever answer we get, we might have an imbalance to the universe when the next morning.
The thing that scares
the sun may say, forget it.
The thing that scares me the absolute most about the Parti Québécois is that every time that they've been elected, they've had a referendum in their first mandate.
And they've lost them.
Yes, thankfully.
They're going to lose them again. Let's be very clear here. If the PQ went for a referendum, they would lose it.
Sure.
By a very large majority.
Don't think it would be 50.8 to 49.2?
No, most polls show it's something like 55 to 45. It's not...
See, but that's still too close for my comfort. I mean, it's not a football game where it's 55 to 45 and you cover the spread by 9.5 points. But it seems to me to be a... It's not a road I want to go down on. And especially right now when people are talking about things like bringing the expos back to Montreal, it just seems preposterous to me that we can have the conversation about Quebec potentially separating and English language laws that are going to oppress a whole part of this population.
Can I just say, if there was a if we can extend this football metaphor,
sure.
The Jean Charest end zone dance once he spikes the football would be something to see. make Thibaut look sad.
Charaying.
Yeah, charaying. That would be a great verb.
That would be impressive. Do you think that Charest is going to win?
No, I think I think Sheree, I don't think Sheree wants Sheree to win at this point. I don't think Sheree would vote for himself.
I've had so enough of this gig.
Oh, he's, you know, he's happy to ride off.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like, that's it. I've had it. My legacy is tarnished enough. It could get worse. So, you know,
I don't
what?
Think I've voted for any. I think for as long as I've been voting, it's been Jean Sheree. How long has he been?
9 years.
And before that, he was he LO? I think he was leader of the opposition.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was the head of the... Yeah.
About 2 years before that.
Yeah. So nothing wrong with a little new blood every now and
then.
I'll
be happy if the PQ wins.
Really?
It's a good thing.
514-790-0990. This is the Kaufman Show. That was Jay Farrar.
It's a good thing.
I keep making that clear, don't I?
It's always... I like when idiocy gets reelected and put in a position of power because you know they're going to screw up. You know they're going to piss people off, and just let them go. Let them have their shot. I'm so confident at how stupid they are that I think that it'd be great to have them in power. That's what I said about George Bush on his second term. I was right. Get these idiots up there.
Yeah,
let them run the show.
Awesome. There is a ton of people across the Middle East, across Iraq and Afghanistan, that probably wish he hadn't gotten that second term.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That was an easy way to brush over two wars.
But you know what? You know what? Because I like the unfolding of society and the chaos that ensues, because you have to let the people, because then their true colors really show.
Mm-hmm.
And
we saw that at the Republican convention last week.
Yes, it's easy to make promises, you know, in an election campaign, and then the Anglo news media comes up and says all the stupid things that Pauline Marois says and whatever. It doesn't matter anyway because they're catering to an Anglophone audience. But when they're actually in power and some of these stupid promises come to fruition, well, then they start pissing off more than just the Anglophones in this province. They'll start pissing everybody else off.
I know a lot of Francophones who are fed up with this as well.
Of course.
This is not an English-French thing. If it was, then really we wouldn't have much of a
voice.
It's
a different Quebec, and 17 years is not a long time when you talk about society, but it is a different Quebec than it was 17 years ago. Believe me, I see it.
I'm well aware.
Yeah.
The problem with Pauline Marois is that if she wins, it's almost an endorsement of her crazy politics. And Jean Charest, too, if he won, it would be the same thing. It's an endorsement of the fact that, you know, Jean Charest can suggest that a Pauline Marois government would scare away the NHL. Absurd, overblown rhetoric like that.
But that's
is not
a last-minute desperation. Let's go back to the football analogies, which, frankly, I don't like doing with politics. I think it's weird. But that's the Hail Mary.
Well, yeah, but he's been doing Hail Marys for the past 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's getting a little tired.
That's true.
It's the counterbalance of when people elect. I mean, it happens in the States all the time. You have the left, or what they call the left, there for a while. 8 years later, they'll bring in the right. It's just a balance, and everybody stays basically centrist. It's the same crap on either side. People get sick of it, so they're willing to embrace completely stupid ideology. Then they realize, holy crap.
Something, yes.
That's a stupid ideology. We got to go back to the other side, forgetting completely what they did the last time. And this is how society works. This is why I don't vote.
But in Canada, it's a little bit nicer because we actually have more parties, and occasionally those parties can interchange and new parties can pop up. And Quebec,
that is true. Yeah.
Quebec has always been a little bit better than that. But unfortunately, now we've gotten to a system where it's either the Liberal or Péquiste, and they're both equally saddening. It's not even like the parties themselves are bad or the candidates they run are terrible. It's just like the entire rhetoric that they employ and that they lean on is just so saddening. It makes everyone it's a sad province right now. Everyone in this province is depressed.
Well, here you go. Thank you, Justin Lin.
I'm not depressed at all.
No, I'm actually
getting
pretty
a
good.
Kick out of this stuff.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good.
I can't wait to see who's in power tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to seeing what happens tomorrow night. And, well, hey, maybe I'll join you out on the streets for the revelry.
Oh, yeah, that should be fun.
See what the party is, or if there maybe won't be a party. Maybe it'll be a billy club in good time.
Let the PQ get in. People don't realize immigrants don't take crap. These people are from countries where you attack the army sometimes when you don't believe in what your government is doing to you. Go ahead, PQ. I hope you win.
There you go. The Kaufman Show endorses the Psy Party.
Le Psy Party.
Le Psy Party. Let's not tell everybody where you're from.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Let's get that out of it.
Proud, dyed-in-the-wool, pure land Quebecois, Justin Ling. Vote for Justin tomorrow. Write him in on your ballot. The Psy Party. Thank you for your
time,
sir.
For a majority of just me.
We're all hoping for a majority.
It might just happen, my friend.
Justin, thanks for your time tonight.
Thanks.
Vous êtes à l'écoute de Le Kaufman Show. Suivez-moi sur Twitter. Le Kaufman Show. Jay. Et au Jay Taverne Radio. For a guy who's embarrassed to speak French in public, I seem to have no problem doing it on air.
T'es pas pire, mon gars.
Merci. Go Habs, go.
Ça, c'est en français et en anglais.
Bilingue, comme moi.
Ça marche.
Parfois, j'aimerais mourir tellement j'ai voulu.
We'll be back after the break.
Parfois, j'aimerais mourir pour ne plus rien avoir. Parfois, j'aimerais mourir pour plus jamais te voir. Je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus. Les jours, je ne t'aime plus, mon amour. Je ne t'aime plus tous les jours. Parfois j'aimerais mourir tellement il n'y a plus d'espoir.
Ladies and gentlemen, after 1 year, after 2 years, John the Wolf.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We've got a couple of minutes before Jonah Carey from Grantland.com joins us. And we're going to spend that time with Expo. Steve from Redondo Beach, California. Hello, sir.
Hello. If Justin doesn't prevail tomorrow, do you think he could run down here?
I think he'd do quite well down there, actually.
He might have a shot. And also, you know, all this news that's going on, but there's a big reunion with you guys, Dave, Jay, and Jimmy back. On the updates?
I know. It's great. It's wonderful to see Jimmy's smiling face in studio.
And I owe Jay an apology and some congrats. The show last week was sensational.
They were great, weren't they?
Right. He had two studs on and from the entertainment world. And when I signed off, so to speak, I forgot to say goodbye to Jay. When I listened to the podcast, I understand. I heard his feelings. So, Jay, I apologize.
Jay accepts your apology. Your heartfelt apology. It's all good, Steve. It was just him having a little fun. Everything's good with you?
Everything's good with me.
You missed a wonderful day yesterday in Toronto.
Yes, I know. I felt like I was there because I followed all the tweets, and I look forward to hearing what Jonah has to say. I do have a sort of off-topic music question, which for you is always on topic.
That's right. Shoot.
I was planning on coming to Montreal in October, and I checked Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
Schedule for October.
Not Bruce Coburn.
No.
Okay.
And I noticed that he's in Ottawa, he's in Hamilton, he's been in Toronto, he was in Nova Scotia.
Yep.
And he's not at all on this tour going to be in Montreal.
Off the top of the show, I mentioned this. I'm encouraging people to start a campaign on Twitter. Tweet at Evenko, October 20th. That's the day that I want Springsteen in Montreal. I believe that they're in Hamilton on the 21st, Ottawa on the 19th. The 20th is my birthday. Evenko, hook me up.
Does Montreal not support big acts anymore?
They do. I mean, Oceaga is the biggest festival in Canada. The Who are coming. Springsteen was here on the last tour and the tour before. I don't know what it is. I asked Evenko a couple of weeks ago. I got a response that they're still working on it. And that's the best we can do. Let's all bug them. And if enough of us bug them, maybe they'll see that they'll sell out Springsteen at the Bell Center.
Sounds
Expo,
great.
I'm sorry we were running out of time, but please call in next week and we'll catch up further.
Goodbye, Jay.
All the best. Little City in Color going out. What a CanCon on the show tonight. Canadian content, Jimmy. Well, we all know what a big fan Jay Farrar is of those Canadian artists. By the way, Max Kerman from Arkells did check in. They're driving through the prairies right now. Their cell reception is spotty, and we will catch up with Max next week on The Kaufman Show. So look at that. Next week, Max Kerman from Arkells, Dave Bedini from the Bedini Band. Kaufman Show leaves primetime and goes rock and roll. We'll be right back. hate to break it to you all. We got some bad news. That song means it is the last segment. So let's enjoy these 18 minutes of the final local show on TSN 990. Midnight. This goes back about 300.
Right.
690 a.m. We will be able to be heard, I think, all the way to Cape Horn in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Or something far, at least. I don't know.
11 years on 990. About to switch over to 690.
That's right. New beginnings.
We're part of history, Dave.
Well,
the last live broadcast.
I think the history was made yesterday when we were sitting in Section 240 at the Rogers Center, which I like to call the Sky Dome, but it's the Rogers Center. And our next guest was there with us, and without him, I honestly believe that it wouldn't have been anywhere near as successful as it was. Right. So let's welcome in our next guest, Mr. Jonah Carey. How are you, sir?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
We're fantastic. You recovered from yesterday?
Yeah, we went out late last night. Oh, there were some Expo stragglers. There were some Expo stragglers, and combined with some Toronto people that I know and some friends and so forth. And yeah, we had a good time.
When you called me to see if I was still in the city, I was probably near Kingston and really kicking myself, wishing I'd gone out for one more night in Toronto.
Yeah, I was standing on the corner of Bathurst and College at 3:30 in the morning watching several people eating hot dogs, thinking, I am way too old to be doing it.
That sounds like a very Montreal thing. 3:30 is pretty late in Toronto.
It was. Well, we ditched whatever place we were at about 2, but then there was kind of this mad dash to go all around the city for food, and we ended up at this diner, and there was a line outside the diner. It looked like a club, and the girl who was taking, you know, party of how many and so forth, she had her face painted purple. And it made me believe that there was something going on that was very strange. And so we ended up leaving that, and we went to another place that was closed, another place that was closed, and finally decided on a hot dog stand, and we just stood and kibitzed for a while. It was
nice.
Fun.
Nice. That's the street meat is a very Toronto thing. We don't have it here. And I always find myself eating a late-night hot dog when I'm in Toronto and very much regretting it the next morning.
Oh, yeah. I did not partake, by the way. I had discipline. I do not eat late at night. That is a secret to my girlish physique.
To your... Excuse me?
You heard what I said.
Jonah, it was so much fun this weekend, and I'd imagine you got a little bit more fodder for this book that it's going to be impossible to write, I imagine.
Yeah, I...
You've interviewed a billion people.
I tried. There were about 200 people in the section. I probably did about 10 or 12 interviews, and some of it was just casual conversations. I went up to Jim Fanning, and I'd already interviewed him for the book, and so I just chatted and I reminded him who I was. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, how's it going with the book? He was quite interested. And I told him, I talked to Rich Griffin. Great that he could come. And obviously you guys and everybody, Anakin, everybody. It was just, like, you know, as many people as I could find, I talked to, either formally or informally, interview or not, and tried to collect stuff. It's funny, in a way, I think you mentioned it, it becomes a little bit more difficult when you have so much material, you have to whittle it down in a way. And this now puts me up to about 100 interviews, I think, after doing the 10 or 12 or so yesterday. And still got 50, maybe even 75 or more to go. And so it's just going to be a matter of picking the best stuff. I mean, when the last book that I did, The Extra 2%, there was stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor. There were about 5 or 6 people that I talked to for an hour that literally didn't have word one in the book. It just didn't fit when I went back to write my manuscript. And so, yeah, it's an interesting thing. The culling process, the self-editing process is actually one of the toughest tasks of writing a book. But, you know, that's good. It's better to have more good material and settle on the very best than have not enough and kind of have to try to fluff it up a little bit and make it look better than it really is.
Well, when we look at the people that you've interviewed, Jonah, don't worry. Jay and I are more than prepared to end up on the cutting room floor.
Oh, no. I enjoyed that conversation with you guys and Anakin. That was a good time. We had a good time at McLean's. And fan stuff is important. You know, I got to figure out how I'm going to leverage it exactly and where everything is going to go and so forth. There's got to be a little bit of the book that has to be a little memoir. At least my editor is insisting on it. But we'll figure out a way. I think my attitude about fan interviews is, even if I don't end up doing pages and pages of verbatim quotes, it might be that the things that I write are informed by the interview. So that could be a way to go as well.
You, I'd imagine, as far as former Montrealers or Expos fans go, probably go to more ball games than most, and you definitely watch more baseball than most. Where does yesterday's baseball experience rank for you?
Well, it's one of the best ones since the Expos left, that's for sure. It was just a good time. First of all, I've been in the press box for a bit these days because I write about baseball for a living. But, you know, there have been days when I've sat out in the stands in Denver. I live in Colorado. And, you know, going to games at Coors Field, I've gone with friends just sitting out in the stands. That's been great. Same thing at Fenway, which is a wonderful park, of course, and so forth. But, you know, even though Rogers Center is what it is, and even though there weren't that many people in the stadium and the Rays kind of destroyed the Jays and so forth, it was a special time, obviously, because it was just, it was very nostalgic, and we're singing old Expo songs, and there were 200 of us, and as you guys know, I was saying to you guys, you know, sitting right behind me were my childhood buddies who I hadn't been to a game with since the Expos left, and I moved away in 97, so really you're talking about, I don't think I've been to a game with them since the 90s, those guys. These are friends of mine from high school and even elementary school, and my dad came to the game too, which I haven't been to a game with my dad. God, that's been really a long time. So it's just one of those things where, aside from the actual what took place on the field, it was fun and personal for me. You know, it was just, it was really, there was a lot of nostalgia and just thinking about these were the people that I used to go to games with a long, long time ago, and here we are all in one city and we're all making it happen.
Also made it, for me at least, I thought it was really apropos that the Rays were playing. That's a team that, as an Expos fan, I feel like I can get behind, and I'd imagine a lot of that is because of the extra 2%. But that Tampa team, it just reminds me of the Expos.
Well, and certainly there, you look at similarities such as the, you know, the Dome Stadium, which is much maligned by everybody, and the team just getting a lot of flack nationally and so forth. But, of course, there are direct links. One of them was Cliff Floyd, played on the 2008 team that went from worst to first and went to the World Series. He was kind of a veteran leader by that point. He was a rookie, don't forget, in 94 when he burst onto the scene. But you had actual Expos on the Rays, and famously, and it's been told, you know, in the stories that have been written in the media, but we can chat about this, the Rays have two coaches that are ex-Expos. One is Davey Martinez, who was a pretty good player, actually, for a few years with the Expos, and the other one is Tom Foley, who was more of a utility infielder and so forth, but he was on the field. He was the third base coach. So if we could get a, you know, loud enough chant going, the thought was, well, maybe he could tip his cap. And he kind of acknowledged us, and as we were chanting and chanting, he finally did tip his cap, and it was a very nice moment. You don't really want to encourage 200 drunken Expos fans, but that is exactly what Tom Foley did.
And, he, you know, it's funny, because a couple of innings later, he got hit by a foul ball. And
did he actually hit him? I thought he dodged it.
Oh, I thought it hit him and knocked him to the ground. At least that's what it looked like from our section.
He either jumped out of the way or it hit him. Anyway, he definitely was on the ground.
I was wondering if it was our fault. If he was so distracted by all of us Expos fans up there that...
He should be used.
I want our powers to be used for good, not evil.
I know, yeah. Same here.
He should be used to coming off the bench cold and being prepared with his reflexes a little bit better, don't you think?
I'm pretty sure this is the first
he's not 25 years old anymore, Jake. Come on.
He never was, Jonah. He always seemed like an older guy.
He came out of the womb as a 36-year-old, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that Tom Foley hasn't gotten a Bronx cheer in a very long time, if ever.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. It was really a lot of fun and a beautiful day and... I don't know. I just thought it was really cool, and I don't remember if I, you know, Matt Ross obviously played a big role in.
Oh, he was wonderful. He put the whole thing together. It was great.
He did, and I, you know, I was interviewed a few times. Everybody's like, "So da da da," and you did this. Matt Ross did this. Matt Ross and Expos Nation page, and obviously you guys and Anakin definitely promoted and stuff. And I came along very late in the game and said, "Oh, I'm in. Like whatever I can do, and I'm happy to show up." But it was great anyway. So I was mentioning to Matt, and I said, I'd love this to be annual. I don't know why it couldn't be. I think that maybe it's possible the response might not be as big in year two because year one was sort of like 8 years of pent up whatever. Hmm. But by the same token, people had so much fun and we got quite frankly a lot of press for it that maybe there'd be a surprise. Maybe we would get a good turnout, you know, 200 or maybe even more the next time because we just enjoyed it so much. I mean, you know, if you have I have an annual trip that I do with my friends, guy friends that I've known forever, school friends and so forth. And it's a given that we're going to do it every year. And the reason we're going to do it every year is because we did one. We didn't think it was going to be annual, but we loved it. And we said, well, why don't we just do this all the time? And I got that same feeling. It was the same feeling of familiarity and quite frankly, fun that made it worthwhile. And to go to Toronto is, you know, relatively inexpensive and relatively close for Montrealers. And many Montrealers, of course, live in Toronto now. And I feel like this is doable. So I really hope that whenever it is, what time of year it is, spring, summer, whatever, on toward late fall, that it does become an annual event. But, I mean, if they want to shift venues and do next year at Fenway or whatever, fine, I'll go to that too. Whatever works best, I'm in.
That kind of leads to my question. I mean, not to be a damper on the conversation, but you have said publicly before, you know, it really depends on how long this thing is trendy, how long people can keep this feeling alive about the Expos, the hype. Even if we get a team, it's all about, you know, keeping it, you know, at the conversation table at all points, having the hype. Is there ever a danger of this going away? I mean, forget about even getting the team. We want to make sure that people are keep thinking about the Expos.
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. Obviously, you guys are going to play as big a role as anybody. I mean, you know, being there in Montreal and having a forum for this, and obviously Anakin being a successful musician is able to do some things, and Matt and Mitch Melnick, and, you know, these are the people that are at the vanguard of this thing, and you guys are able, if that's your will, which I imagine it is, to make something happen. But sure, there have to be external stimuli, too. I think that the Andre Dawson induction played a big role, Vladimir Guerrero signing a minor league deal with the Jays, all these media stories coming up. So, you know, it's possible that some of that could fade, certainly. But, you know, you do what you do. If it comes to the point and people aren't necessarily energized from the masses, I still think that we you know, being the core group of whatever is 200, might still decide, you know what, there's not that much going on in the media, but so what? We had a good time. We're just going to do it that way. And maybe that's sort of an organic way to build interest. And maybe we end up being surprised by going at it in that direction. So, sure, it's a risk. You know, obviously there is no team. There's no particular reason. I'd love for Tim Raines to make the Hall of Fame next year, but it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we just have to hope for the best. I think that's all I can say.
Jonah, what can we look forward to from you on Grantland this week?
So I've got my weekly column, The 30, coming out, which is a big old power rankings. It usually comes in around 6,000 words, although my bosses keep telling me to make it shorter so I don't kill myself.
Tell Simmons no. Tell Simmons we like
well,
it.
As soon as I get off the phone with you, that's what I'm going to do. So we'll see what happens.
Good. I'm sure I have a lot of sway with the sports guy.
Yes. The sports guy can be swayed. You just have to know how to play him. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. I take back what I said.
So, anything other than the 30?
Yeah. So I got, and I'll have a couple of pieces later in the week. I write fantasy stuff usually, and I'll do some sort of feature. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do this week. Last week, I wrote about the Reds. Very complimentary, and I ended up getting bashed by Reds fans anyway. It's so funny how that works. If you're a writer and you write about somebody, and it's especially if it's a fan base that feels neglected, I remember when the Expos would never get coverage, and occasionally somebody would write a story, and I was one of the complainers. I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, it's positive, but they didn't say anything about Mitch Webster. How could they? And I think this is how Reds fans felt a little bit. It's just like, what? We're getting this coverage from Grantland, but what about this thing? That's not quite as positive as I would like, so... Listen, I do my best to try to cover all 30 teams, and you can't please everybody, I guess.
You can't please all the people all the time, that's for sure. But we really appreciate everything you do for Expos fans and for making baseball interesting and relevant, and hope we can speak to you before the end of the season.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks again. It was great hanging out with you this weekend, Jonah.
Yes, it was with you guys as well, sincerely.
Have a good one. There he goes, Jonah Carey from Grantland.com.
Nobody choked a bat like Dave Martinez. You know that? Guy would hit every time he was up. He was like Junior Noboa.
Junior Noboa.
Yeah, my dad used to say, that's the best player on the team. I'm like, I'm not so sure about that, Dad. He hits every time he's up, and it's true. Every time we watch him, he'd get a hit. I don't know. It was weird.
Jamie Carroll hit a home run tonight.
Yeah.
And that's kind of
still wearing
that...
his socks high up?
Oh, of course.
Is he?
Of course. Yeah. Okay. The Delino DeShield School of Class.
That's right.
I believe is what that's
called. That's how you wear a baseball uniform,
that,
huh?
That is... Don't
doesn't
understand.
Work on big guys. I end up looking like Babe Ruth, but yeah. You know, I have to wear mine low, but more power to him.
Mr. Garofalos, Jimmy.
That is myself. There's only one.
Hi, Jimmy. Do we have time to go a few minutes past 10
sure,
o'clock?
Of course.
Okay, then we're going to take this call and then we're going to say goodbye. We have Guy.
Gee, I think.
Or it's Guy in Stainer Park here close to Westmount.
Hey, oh. Stainer Park. I know.
Then it is Guy.
My call. I tried to get in last week at the end of the show, and I couldn't get in.
Well, no, because there was a bunch of celebrities in studio.
You didn't want to talk to us,
believe
me.
You had to wait for me.
I was just as soused as much as the host of the show, so I felt I had a place.
Hey now. Hey now.
Wow. That'll take a breathalyzer next time.
No, listen, guys, the reason why I'm calling is I'm sort of reminiscing a little bit. May 2001, I called the show. I probably spoke to Mitch and spoke about Bake McBride or, I don't know, somebody like Johnny Bench or who knows what. And so I just thought I'd try and be the last caller on 990 before you guys shut her down for another station.
Hey, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, you have that honor, sir, and you deserve it.
That's right.
I really appreciate that, and I hope you guys had a good time up in in Toronto watching the ball game and getting reacquainted with baseball, because it's good to be in your soul, right?
Just to let you all know listening, this is Guy Ormiston from Via Rail on the phone. That is correct, right?
And, that's correct,
and,
yeah.
Guy was very generous at the Gary Carter event that Jay and I threw at Hurley's Pub, and arranged to, and Anakin and I bought a lot that he had donated for with train tickets and baseball tickets, and we used it yesterday. And
I used mine too, Guy. Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to be and be around you guys and speak about baseball and think about baseball back in Montreal and speak to you tonight before the end of the show, because everything is always the history of where we're from and what we've been able to do with one another. And this is another one of those nights, right?
Absolutely.
You guys did a great job. Hope to see you on the other side.
Mr. Ormiston, thank you very much for everything, sir.
And Guy, come by the pub, please. I've got some surprises for you, my friend.
Hey, go Expos. And like I said, right, you know, I mean, there may be another team in this continent that could come about. Well, all we have to think about the possibilities. Cheers.
The Monterey Mexpos?
Yes, exactly.
Thanks for the call, Guy.
Cheers, guys.
Have a good night. Jimmy, before we start the song, I think it's going to be played in full tonight. So I want to thank our guests.
Please.
I want to thank Rich Griffin from the Toronto Star. Can't wait to get him back on air for a prolonged interview. I think we should Ellis Valentine Rich Griffin.
Well, that man has a wealth of knowledge.
We'll wait for the off season and we'll make that happen. Jonah Carey from Grantland.com, as always, forever in your debt, sir. Side note, Jonah Carey used to work at the Orange Julep.
Did he?
Yeah.
No wonder he's so happy.
And he's always happy to show the scar that he got on his finger slicing from the slicer at the Orange Julep. Makes you wonder what you're eating when you go there, huh? Justin Ling.
Party.
Vote Ling, vote Psy. Vote Ling, vote Psy. Max Kerman did not join us tonight. He will join us next week. They are barreling through the prairies right now.
Yeah, as soon as he finishes polishing his Juno, maybe he'll give us a call.
Well, you think he polishes his and Dyka smelts his?
Yeah,
that's
probably.
How that works?
Yeah.
All our best to the Arkells, who are, I'm sure, listening as they...
Great guys.
As they head across our beautiful country. Jimmy G, thank you, sir. And Mr. F... It was so good to go to a ball game with you, man.
It was.
It was so good to go to a ball game with you.
I was in shock. First one in 8 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of tomorrow, please vote tomorrow. Vote whoever the hell you want for, but vote. Then you can bitch. As long as you vote, you can call in next week and bitch. I'm totally cool with that. But remember what Joel Plaskett says at the end of every show. And we'll be back next week.
Listen up, kid, it's not what you think. Stayed out too late, had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, then I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I
I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you understand. Face down in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show on TSN 990 Radio. Join Jay and I next Monday on TSN Radio 690 in Montreal.
What'd that sound like?